Sports. Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
We said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know. We can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the NSIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
Let's go!
Speaking of wild behavior, he's Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury. Glad to be with you. It's a Tuesday installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Glad to be with you on the AM dial 1420 there and 98.5 on the FM dial there. And, of course, live streaming with the video on the Fox Sports Aberdeen Facebook page. Glad to be with you on this 11th, make it 12th day of the month of May. 11th was yesterday. Tomorrow will be the 13th, and the day after that the 14th, if memory serves correctly. And I think we are ready to rock and roll. Jeff Larson, head coach of the Warner Track and Field Squads. He'll be taking some time out of his very busy morning to join us here in the next 15 minutes as the LRC meet gets underway here today at the bottom of the hour. And you might be seeing some very, very interesting numbers at that meet today because of the wind. Javelin throws may be making some state records. I'm not quite sure, but
might go backwards.
No kidding. Cobra, how you doing out here on a Tuesday morning?
Doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing well. But, yeah, I mean, like, you get that thing up in the jet stream, that thing is going to be landing in North Dakota.
Sheesh. It's going to be a windy one out there today. I feel bad for those track and field athletes out there today. It's just running out there in the wind. From just somebody that goes out on a stroll from time to two just because, and I think it sucks running in the wind. Like, I think I'd rather run in the rain,
sure,
than the wind, because you got all that air coming in. I feel like it's tough for the guys, like you said, who are throwing like javelin. You don't know where that thing's going today. At least with like a shot put, it's a little bit heavier. But, like, the javelin, I think that thing's pretty light, so that could go anywhere. So keep your head on a swivel out there.
Thing's going to be landing in Holland, Michigan, where I spent the last week there with the family. Hey, speaking of traveling and what have you, our spring snack sacks officially underway here today. Keep an eye out for us. We're going to get going here in the next hour or so. So if you are in the Warner area, Mansfield, Northville, Millett, Chelsea, Brentford, Redfield area, Ashton, keep an eye out for us. Maybe a little southeast, maybe a little southwest. So our spring snack sack's officially underway here today, and it's always a lot of fun to see those farmers out there in the fields. And they say, we listen to you guys all the time, or, I listen to Pheasant Country, or I listen to Sunny, or I listen to games on Pheasant Country for Roncalli or Northern Game. It's always a lot of fun to hear that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I was out in Ipswich last year, and there were a couple people that would say, hey, I didn't think you'd find us, but I'm glad you did. So, yeah, it's always good seeing the faces of people when they get those spring snack sacks, and they're just super thankful, and we're thankful for them for, their dedication to agriculture this farming season.
No question about that. Our spring snack sacks brought to you in part by Hepper Sports Center, Kessler's, Merck's Bauer, Meyer Dental, and JH Construction, just to name a few. That's the Cobra. Let's go ahead and toss this thing skyward for a Tuesday installment of The Jump here on FSA. And Jeff Larson again coming up here in the next 10 minutes on the program. But this was on my list of things to get to yesterday. Didn't quite get to it because of time. But I am a sucker for a giveaway. I am. I'm a sucker for a giveaway. Doesn't matter if I'm going to an NFL game or an NBA game or baseball game. Now I got two kids, so now it's the giveaways going to the kids. And this is probably one you probably don't want to hand the kids, but it's a cool idea, and it's something that you and I can get behind because you are officially one of these. I am definitely one of these. Neither of us are very good at it, but fishing. You like to fish, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
You are a fisherman.
Very novice at it, but I do enjoy it.
Absolutely. And people are like, oh, I brought in a this. I'm like, hey, something bit at the end of the line. I reeled it in. I'm calling it good. But the Minnesota Twins, a couple of weeks ago, just before my vacation there, they had their giveaways there. And the Blue Jays and Twins game, they were dishing out the City Connect fishing lures.
Pretty, I like that.
Pretty cool giveaway.
That is a cool giveaway.
It's basically, that's not a jig. That's
it's a lure, right?
It's just a fishing lure. Yeah. But a jig is a type of a lure.
Yes.
It's not a spinner bait. Man, I'm speaking of being a novice about fishing and what have you, I used to know this stuff. I really did. I used to know exactly what this is. But
that's
for those
neat.
Yeah, it's a cool deal, and it's dressed up like the Minnesota Twins old school.
Yeah.
Not old school, but in their City Connect jerseys. That's a pretty cool deal.
I like
there.
That. Yeah, with the Great Lake, the new like Great Lakes logo,
they
did. I'm a fan of that. And we talked about the Minnesota Twins. It's not a great baseball team, so you're gonna have to come up with some good giveaways. And that's one that I'm a fan of. And you know what the cool thing about those giveaways is, like, if you can't go to the game, check eBay out for some giveaways, because you can go and kind of get those on eBay. I did that with a floppy hat back in the day that I really wanted from an Oriole game.
Mm-hmm.
I went on eBay and got it. So you can, if you can't get to the game, you can go like on eBay or one of those other stores online and see if you can find something.
Floppy hat. You don't strike me as a floppy hat guy, but
no,
you are.
But everybody had that floppy hat phase.
Oh, sure.
Everybody did it. Like, I was, you know, in college at the beginning of late high school. Everybody had that phase.
And also, everybody had kind of the mop top phase with the hair, too.
Yes.
The longer hair.
Lettuce.
Yeah, exactly.
It's what the hockey guys that I went to high school with, like, they always called it, yeah, you got to have a lettuce. I'm like, yeah, I was a buzz cut guy.
Sure.
So.
High and tight.
Yeah, I was, like, one all the way around back in high school. And now I'm doing a little bit more there. So
you're like a happy medium.
Yeah.
It's good.
I do like having the one on the sides and back. I just like having enough where I can like do something with my hair if I really wanted to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we talked about the Wilkinsons there yesterday. I was having a hard time figuring out who was who and what was what because of my vacation brain. Big shout out to our guy, Mr. Libis, for setting me straight. But I did see this on social media. But I like so many things. Sometimes my likes get a little convoluted and what have you. I think I might have even sent it to you a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
But Nebraska, that is where Damon Wilkinson.
I thought it was Iowa.
Yeah.
So I was
somewhere
close.
In the Big Ten.
Yeah, I was close. I knew he signed somewhere, and you did send me that.
Mm-hmm.
So good on you. I thought it was Iowa though, but yeah, Nebraska getting a somebody who's gonna probably make an impact right away. So I'm excited about that. Seeing how his impact kind of helps out the Cornhuskers. That's a team we'll have to follow now.
Very much so. So there you go. Damon Wilkinson hitting that transfer portal and heading to Nebraska for a team that went to the
Sweet 16.
Sweet 16 this last year. Yeah, I was going to say March Madness.
Remember they had four guys on the floor against Iowa?
That's
we
right.
talked about that.
Yeah.
Like, how could you do that? They were this close. They should have went to the Elite Eight this year. That was like the first time they've won a tournament game in the history, I think, of Nebraska or something crazy like that.
Well, no one's going to miss Damon Wilkinson on the floor. Okay? You got four guys. Hey, we're missing Damon. Up, oh, Damon, get out there.
Get out there.
Yeah. Damon's probably already out there. He knows what's up. But good stuff there, and congratulations to him. This popped up on my social media feed because we do, a time or two, take some pot shots at the Dallas Cowboys. It's easy. There's a lot of subject material there. Paula Kruger, of course, a big Dallas Cowboys fan. We're big Paula Kruger fans here, but this is a really, really cool story coming out of the Lone Star State. Ex-Dallas Cowboy cheerleader arrested. What did she do? Well, she hired a marching band to follow her ex-boyfriend to work for 9 straight days. And she made this happen. I don't know, maybe he cheated on her or something, or I don't know what, but they're on the outs. So she's upset, and she hires a band to follow this dude around for 9 straight days in his morning routine on his way to work or like outside of his place of business, and they play the same song every day at super high volume.
Wow.
And big shout out to her.
Stalker much?
A little bit of a stalker. Also a pretty good looker there too. Big shout out there to her for making that.
That's wild.
Making that happen.
9 straight days.
9 straight days. And arrested.
Yeah, and then got arrested for it.
Pretty wild.
I guess the guy was like, hey, I had enough of this. Like,
yeah.
I was cool with maybe, I don't even know if I'd be cool with a day of that. But
yeah.
The fact that he had 9 straight days of that and didn't go to the police sooner is kind of incredible.
I mean, he has got incredible limits. See, that just goes to show you, men, we have, there's a lot, you got to really push us before we really get over the edge.
Yeah. This guy, 9 days?
9 times. My goodness gracious. Same time amount of that days that Ferris Bueller missed school back in the day. 9 times. Coming up next around these parts, we're going to catch up with Jeff Larson, the head coach of the Warner Monarchs track and field squad, fresh off of a really good performance for them this last weekend. They are looking forward to the LRC meet. That's coming up here in 19 minutes, as a matter of fact. Jeff Larson, he'll be joining us next right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Sports hubbing it up on a Tuesday installment of the program. Fox Sports Aberdeen. We'll talk some Aberdeen Wings hockey towards the bottom of the hour. Taking on the Austin Bruins last night in a decisive Game 5. We'll certainly unpack that series at length coming up towards the bottom of the hour. But first and foremost, let's jettison out to Edmonds County. Head coach of the Warner Monarchs is Jeff Larson on the track and field side of things. Coach, good to talk with you here on this meet day. Thanks for taking some time for us.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure for sure. And should be a great event out there for some of the events. Cobra and I were kind of joking a little bit in our first segment. Hey, the javelin could be interesting today. It might land up in a different state. How do you deal with the conditions on a day like this where you've got the red flag warning and the high wind warnings and whatnot?
You know, the heat's the only difference, really. We're battling that is going to be a little challenge with the wind, but the wind is nothing we're not used of. I think most of our meets, other than one meet so far this year, has been calm conditions. So we deal with it the best we can, and we're still running some amazing times for the conditions. And just always proud of these kids. The attitude matters in these situations, especially at the conference meet.
Well, I was just going to mention that the attitude is still pretty high considering the high winds. It's just kind of one of those things that we were talking a little bit off the air. It's just another day in South Dakota. You got to roll with the punches, and your kids have certainly done that here, right?
Yep. Yeah. It's just what it is. And if we keep our focus, if we keep our desires up, we can still do amazing things.
Jeff Larson is our guest, head coach of the Warner Track and Field Squad here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And, you know, that sounds good. You know, you're mentally locked in. It is what it is. You have to move forward with it. But how difficult is it to stay locked in on a day like this? Because Cobra was saying in the first segment, it's like nobody wants to run in this. Nobody wants to really compete in 40-mile-an-hour wins. So it sounds good in theory, but how difficult is it to get these guys and gals to mentally stay there in practice, if you will?
Well, I think if this was a normal track meet, I think we would have a little harder time, right? But this is a conference meet. This is something the kids get jacked up for all year long, and we're out here to compete with our be the top of the conference, and we've got so much talent. Ipswich is loaded. Frederick's got some good boys. North Central, you know, I mean, there's just a lot of talent in our own area, which is always fantastic. That when you look at the top 24 times, there's a lot represented in this region, in this conference.
And we always talk about you want to be running and jumping your best when you get to a conference meet. Do you feel like you're kind of at that point? I guess the word's peaking right now at this point of the year. Do you feel like your team, whether it's gals or and your guys and gals, are really peaking at this moment in time of the season?
You know, I hope not.
Okay.
I hope we're just gaining momentum. And
sure.
If you look at our last meet at home last Friday, I mean, we're gaining momentum. I still hope the best is yet to come at the state meet. That is my goal. Again, I want to win conference more than anyone. But at the same time, I want to place at state. I want team points and get on that podium is the name of the game there.
Down south at Howard Wood, about 3 weeks ago, something like that. You got to forgive me. I was just on vacation. My vacation brain is still kind of waking up here a little bit. So how did the squad do down south there? I know that's always a big kind of midway portion of the season opportunity to really kind of compete against some of the best.
You know, I thought we handled that really well. Individually, we kind of had some hiccups. That line just came faster than what they were ready for. But as a team, relays, I mean, our handoffs, it's kind of our bread and butter. We're very proud of our handoffs, and the girls and the guys, they spend a lot of time at practice crafting that. So to see the handoffs go smoothly, and I think we took a couple sixth places, a seventh place, and so we were right where we wanted to be at that particular point in time. So,
and what makes a good handoff, Coach, in relays? When I think of handoffs, I think of the quarterback giving it to the running back. But in track and field and in relays, it's about as important as ever. So can you talk about that a little bit and just some of the things that you work on with those handoffs to kind of get those times shedded down a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, the less bobbles, the less slowing down to get an incoming runner that can happen is really what you want. So, you know, we try to focus that the outgoing runner is getting to max speed at the time the incoming runner is coming in and delivering that handoff. And we like a nice flat hand, and they just push that baton right in that hand and they take off, no worries. In the 4x100, it is a race that is all about the handoffs. If you have to slow down to get the baton, if you have to if you bobble the baton at all, you just lost a place or two. So handoffs are so important in the one and the four relays. 400 is kind of critical, but not as much. You can make up ground, and the 4x8 is that's the best runners, you know, they win that one. But 4x1, 4x2 is so critical. So that's kind of where we're at. We like a nice flat handoff, and we don't want that baton slowing down one bit in the exchange zone.
Warner Track and Field head coach Jeff Larson here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, and this may be kind of a dumb question, but as it relates to the handoff, is there a maximum amount of steps that the next person who's getting the handoff can take before that handoff is profited? Does that make sense?
Yeah, kind of, but there isn't a max number of steps because we adjust according to our runner's talent. So we got 30 meters of distance. There's arrows set up. We have to stay within those 30 meters of the exchange zone. So as long as the baton is passed in that zone, we're okay. But we have girls that they start their countdown right at the end or at the beginning of the arrows, and some that maybe start their footsteps in the middle. People like, you know, Katie McNair and McKenna Lightholt. I mean, they're our strong runners. We want to give them the baton as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. So if they get it early, that's okay, because they're very talented girls, and they're going to get the job done. So
we were talking yesterday about McNair's performance over the weekend. She won the 200, won the long jump, and won the triple jump. And I said that my guess is when, you know, she started track and field, she was probably specialized in one event, and then maybe it was you influenced her to maybe, you know, run at a different event or do the triple jump or do the long jump. Can you maybe talk about that? Because I feel like there isn't – you got to kind of be a jack of all trades in track and field. Like, Coach, like I guarantee you an athlete isn't going into track and field, hey, I want to throw the javelin, right? I mean, you got to kind of be like, hey, I think you could be a pretty good javelin thrower.
The running's easy. Like the running, we know most of the time. But Katie McNair is Katie McNair. Same thing with Beckham Cantaloupe. Right? I've got two phenomenal athletes that just want to break every school record. So they're on their own trying to, hey, coach, can I try long jump? Can I try triple jump? Can I? I'm like, okay, but there is a limit. I'm not going to let you throw a shot because I need you on the track.
How do you figure out which ones that these kids are going to be in? Because like you said, there's a lot of them that want to try different stuff. So that means you got to kind of keep the reins on him a little bit to figure out, hey, you know, you're really well suited here and maybe to anchor this relay or maybe to be that triple jump guy or gal. How do you kind of figure that out with them and to figure out, hey, there's only X amount of events I can put you in before you run out of gas?
Right. You know, I mean, it's tricky when you've got a large team. We've got 85 kids, middle school to high school. And so it can be kind of tricky to figure out. But there's Katie McNair's and Beckham Cantaloupe's of the world that just want to try everything. And then there's Kaya Townsend, who last year I begged her to try triple jump. And she was not – she did not want to do it. And I'm just like, just a couple times, if you don't like it, we'll pull you out. Well, she ends up qualifying for state that last year. And you know, those things you can kind of see, those long legs, or maybe they have long arms and maybe they should be throwing javelin, you know. We try to do the best we can, but they have to be willing to trust us, I guess, a little bit. So,
and, you know, I saw over the weekend Courtney Lightholt won the pole vault. Is that another one where you got to kind of be like, or do kids come to you and be like, hey, I want to try the pole vault? Like, how's that kind of work? I feel like if I was doing track.
They gravitate over there. Okay. Like it's the latest, you know, gizmo. They love watching that. It's a unique sport. And we're just very lucky to have our coach, Kayla Nielsen. You know, not too many teams have a dedicated coach over to pole vault area, and so that has really helped our program stay on top with Ipswich. And you know, we've got four boys that can qualify for state right now. They're in the top 24. Unfortunately, we only get three to go. So,
and with the relays, you talked about that earlier, and just how important the handoffs. How do you kind of navigate, you know, the four quote unquote best in a relay? How do those conversations go?
Those are more difficult because it's not all always about the fastest runner. Sometimes it's the who can be cool and calm in the relay, wait for their marks to come before they take off and excel to make sure they can receive the handoff. I mean, there's so many little things. That's a confidence issue, and I tend to lean on the ones that come to practice with more confidence and are willing to spend the time. I mean, we dedicate a lot of time to it, and so it's easily noticed who's more comfortable getting handoffs.
Probably the final one here with Jeff Larson on Fox Sports Aberdeen before you guys get going here in the next couple minutes there in Ipswich. Where do you spend the most of your time, the majority of your time here today, Coach? Are you more track side of things, more field side of things, a certain event that you're really kind of pinpointing today that they need my help the most or they need my coaching the most? Where do you spend the majority of your time today?
Majority of my time is running back and forth on the football field, end-to-end on the track. I'm more of the running specialist, looking at form, looking at, again, judging the handoffs, you know, talking to things. I've got great coaches that handle the field side of things, so I'm really blessed I get to focus on what I do best. So,
well, do you have your Santa Claus outfit on? I think the last time we saw you, you were in the Santa Claus outfit here in the studio a couple months ago now.
I'm pretty sure that is not wearable anymore. I think I wrecked it at the run, but
yeah, because Cobra
that
partook
was a fun
in
event.
Yeah, that was the 5K over there.
Yeah, I did that. Yeah, that was fun.
Yep, that was really a fun event. We had so many comments on that. People just loved that event, and we look forward to doing it again this year.
Well, good luck out there in Ipswich today. Enjoy it, and appreciate you being a part of the program here, and thanks again for doing this, Coach.
Thank you.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure. That's head coach Jeff Larson of the Warner Monarchs, doing a great job with those programs, and a very busy guy there today. They're getting started here in 2 minutes, so I didn't want to keep him too much longer. I texted him this morning. I said, hey, would you like to join us? And he goes, 10:15 would be better because 10:30, we're getting going. 10:15 it is.
Hey, we're fine with that, Coach.
Yeah,
see, you got bigger fish to fry.
No question. He makes the time. You know, coaches that make the time for us, we certainly appreciate that, and a very, very good track and field squad there that they have to compete with in Ipswich. Let's be honest. Yeah. I mean, all the teams there in the LRC are very, very talented, but I think that Ipswich team is maybe in theory, a slight cut above the rest. I mean, Coach Thorson's done a great job with that team, those teams, for a lot of years. So it'll be a really fun meet today.
Oh, 100%, and the elements certainly going to be a factor. But he mentioned it, and I'm sure a lot of these athletes talk about it as well. It doesn't matter because we've run in this kind of stuff and win before. And Warner right now with a little bit of momentum. We talked about it yesterday, especially on the girls' side of things. You know, they were able to come in first place. And watch out for a gal like Katie Mack. They're just going to continue to do what she's done. I mean, they had a lot of individuals have a big weekend there. So, I mean, he mentioned it. You know, you don't want to be peaking at this. I mean, you want to be
rounding into
good form now. Obviously, state is where your focus is at. But this is an important meet because this is a conference meet. He's into it. I'm sure these kids are certainly, if you're circling dates of meets every year, this is one that you're going to have circled. So I'm excited to see how this thing shakes out today.
Also, do you one better is the fact that you have so many student athletes that competed against each other on the gridiron.
Mm-hmm.
You have so many student athletes that competed against each other on the hardwood here a couple months ago. These guys know each other. They're friends with each other. AAU stuff. It's all about competition.
And it's not always – that's the good point. And we've had Thrillhauer in, and he mentioned this a lot, especially in these conference meets. Like, yeah, first place is obviously going to be important in the race for first. But I think you're going to see a couple, you know, fifth or sixth place, mm-hmm. you know, finishes that are going to come down to it. Because like you said, I know the guy that I'm facing off against, fourth and fifth. So I think there's going to be a lot of that going on as well in this conference meet. So it's all about competition. I'm sure that's what these coaches are talking about here. Like, hey, we know a lot of these kids. You mentioned it, whether it's on the gridiron, the basketball court, the volleyball court. Now you get to compete kind of mano-a-mano, if you will, in some of these events, and that's why I think it's so cool about it.
You know, it would be really interesting to see, like, Josiah Baum against Kyle Hedich.
Yeah.
I mean, Warner versus Ipswich. Sheesh. Right there for a 200 or a 100 or something. Just any of those hundreds. Just watch those two guys go and just enjoy.
Yeah, I tell you what, those two guys are super quick. And, you know, when we've talked to Coach Thorson, with Ipswich, and he just mentions Hedich a lot. I'm like, yeah, I see it. You see it on the basketball court. You see it on the football field. Same with Baum. Like, yeah, that's one of those, hey, start the stopwatch and see what happens. That's got to be a fun one.
I mean, how many times was Ryan calling a game this last fall, and you see Hedich get the ball in a jet sweep, and the next thing you know, you blink your eyes, he's in the end zone 80 yards later.
They played Hardin County in that playoff game. They mm-hmm. gave him the ball a couple times just in open space, and – you know, I'd look down, the next thing you know, he's at the goal line for a touchdown. He's that quick. So, yeah, that's incredible to see, you know, and you see a lot of those kind of athletes at the highest level. You see it on other sports, and now you see them especially in the track and field. That's what makes, you know, South Dakota High School track and field so great, those matchups that you see every single year.
So that's going on here today. It's officially underway. It's 2 minutes old. This track and field event there in Ipswich is the LRC conference meet. You got the middle school kiddos over there, too. So the teams there, of course, all the LRC, Aberdeen Christian, Falkton, Frederick, the host squad Ipswich, Lankford, Leola, North Central, Northwestern, and Warner. Elsewhere, a lot of other track and field across the state here today as well. You've got the 281 conference meet. That's with Highmore Herald, Hitchcock Tulare, Iroquois Lake Preston, JVC, Sanborn Central Woonsocket, Sunshine Bible, Wessington Springs, and Woolsey Wessington, to name a couple. The ECC meet also today, as well as the LCC meet. So a busy day today across the state, more specifically East River, for a lot of high school track and field for the day here today. Coming up next, the Aberdeen Wings taking the Austin Bruins down to the wire last night there in Austin. How would it turn out? We'll tell you all about that coming up next on FSA. Rocking and rolling for a Tuesday installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Our thanks to head coach Jeff Larson for making some time with us with his busy schedule as we take a look back at the Aberdeen Wings against the Austin Bruins there last night. I was dialed in on 94.1 The Rock, and, you know, it's kind of a Sports Hub cliche. We say it all the time. Hey, you got to get off to a fast start. And the Wings, they lead 1-0 right out of the gates. Austin comes back, and I don't want to say dominated, but it felt like Austin really kind of dictated terms for the rest of that first period. I want to say off the top of my head, I got to pull the numbers up in front of me, but it was something like 14-6 or 17-6 in terms of shots on goal in that first period. I'll get the exact numbers for you here in a second. But
19-7.
So around that vicinity. And Austin, they do win the game 2-1. The season ends for the Aberdeen Wings. And, you know, we're talking about it on the air yesterday, talking about it off the air. Just a coin flip game between two really well-coached teams, two really good teams. And it just sucks that the Wings have to have their season come to a close. I thought they had it. Saturday, home ice, you're up 2-1. That crowd was an absolute noise cauldron there on Friday night. You dominated them. 4-0, could have been 8-0. And then Austin comes out with fire in their eyes to start that game up there on Saturday.
Yep.
And they win the game there yesterday to advance to the Frozen Four, 2-1. Your final score.
Tough loss for the Aberdeen Wings. They get off to a great start in the game. You get up 1-0, I believe, in this postseason run for the Wings. This is the first time where they scored the first goal and lost the game.
Mm-hmm.
So they usually, when you get that first goal, settle in and then they got a couple penalties and they were able to get a power play goal there. Austin was in that first period, and while Austin really wasn't great on the power play all series, that was a big moment. They were able to capitalize on the man advantage, and like you said, I thought Austin the last two games, Saturday and this game, really after they tied this thing up at 1-1, they dictated terms, and they were playing at their pace. Jay mentioned it yesterday, and I saw it, and you mentioned it there. Like, that game could have been 8-0 on Friday. And my whole thing leaving that game was, like, you got to bury him now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got to bury him. And they came out. You knew Austin was going to come out with that fire on Saturday. And I think the Wings responded pretty well because, I mean, you can't really say much. I mean, it was a 2-2 game with 3 minutes left to go.
Right.
So they were able to get the two goals to tie the game, and obviously there was a little controversy possibly on Saturday with the goal and with the goal going off the hinges or whatever. But they, you know, when I first saw that goal, I said goal, and then I saw the thing on the goal off the hinges or whatever, and I was like, oh, how is that a goal? But I went back and looked at it. Continuation is a thing.
Yep.
So I thought that should have been a good goal, and it was. But how do you respond? I think the Wings did that for the most part in this game. But this is the second year in a row that the Wings have been up 2-1 in a series with game four on your home ice,
mm-hmm.
and you haven't been able to seal the deal. Now, even three, because they were up 2-1 in this series against Bismarck, too, last series. Obviously, they won game five, and you move on. But that game four.
No, I think they trailed 2-1 against Bismarck, didn't they? Because they came back and they won game four to advance it to a game five, if memory serves correctly. I got to double check on that, but I'm pretty sure they were down 2-1.
They were down 2-1.
No, you're right. Because Bismarck came in on Friday and they really kind of took it to the
next level. You're right. But the second year in a row, mm-hmm. you're 100% right. Second year in a row, you have a chance to close a series on your home ice.
Right.
And you weren't able to do it. And I think Austin, they were the better team the last two games, and that's what kind of really stings about this one if you're an Aberdeen Wing player, fan, coach. It's like you were right there.
It just goes to show you how hard it is to win a cup.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Wings won the Robertson Cup back in the 18-19 season, and Coach Langer is, in my opinion, probably the best coach there is in the NAHL. He's got the most wins. He's got this long, lengthy resume. Just goes to show you how hard it is. And when you're that close, you get a redirect here or there, or you run into a hot goalie. I mean, big shout out to Austin for pulling one of the best goalies, if not the best goalie on paper in the regular season. They go with Budakis there for the final two games. He has a really, really good finish. And, I mean, those are coaching decisions that you had to make. Langer did the exact same thing with Dybal, taking him out and putting in Braun. Braun had a great run there, too. So these are the coaching changes you have to make when your backs are against the wall a little bit and you're taking out somebody who's really good but is having kind of a tough stretch there. And Budakis did a great job, too.
I was shocked when they went to that move to Budakis, because that goalie for Austin who got pulled, he was the goalie of the year. So that had to be a tough decision.
Yeah.
And he didn't play that bad on Friday night. It's just something like, hey, we need a spark. Let's go to him. Let's go to Budakis here and see what he did. And how about some of the saves he made on Saturday?
Yeah.
keeping his team in it. And then, obviously, he played great there last night. But you mentioned it, it's incredibly hard to win a Stanley Cup because momentum can be a thing within the game. But you just knew Austin was going to give their best punch on Saturday, and they did. And that was a thing as well. You're watching that game Saturday, and it was just the complete opposite. Like, it wasn't, hey, you know, this is what we saw Friday night. It was a complete 180, whether it was loose puck battles in the deep end of the corners, whether it was turnovers, they would be the first there. The fact that the Wings held this Austin team scoreless for two games plus is incredible. And it just I feel like it's just so I don't know if disappointing is the right word or
deflating
because you had it right there. I mean, you played about as good as you could in this series, and it just wasn't good enough. Like, I don't think the Wings could play much better in this five-game series.
Yeah,
it's two shutouts
against a team that hardly got shut out all season. Very high-powered
offense. I don't think they can play any better. I mean, maybe you look at some of the numbers. I mean, they put 30 shots on goal yesterday. It wasn't like they got completely outplayed. They just didn't get the goal.
Yeah, and that's just the thing about hockey is it's just sometimes fluky things happen, and Jay talks about it all the time, is puck luck. You got to have some good puck luck. And just felt like the Wings didn't have a lot of that in games 4 and 5 for one reason or another. You know, maybe you put yourself in a different position to get some of that puck luck, or you work a little harder on a loose puck, or you do a little bit better on the forecheck. I don't know. There's all these little idiosyncrasies that go into the game of hockey, and I'm not going to stand here and say, like, I know all of those idiosyncrasies of the game. I know enough to be dangerous. But I will say, this is just, it is a deflating loss because, like you said, back-to-back years you had your opposition on home ice with a chance to win it. And it just goes to show you how difficult it is to hoist that Robertson Cup. But even still, a really, really good year for Coach Langer's crew. And, you know, if you're Coach Langer and crew right now, do you even watch the Frozen Four? Or are you just like, ah, that's it for me? I feel like that's it for me. I'm done.
I think that would be.
When Northern loses, I'm like, I'm out.
Yeah, I mean, you probably pay attention. A little bit. See, like, okay, Austin won a game. Cool. But, yeah, you had them on the ropes. You had them there. I mean, they dominated that game on Friday. Absolutely took it to them. And Saturday, and I was texting my dad after the game because my dad was listening to some of these games, and he listened to Saturday night. He listened last night. And he's a big hockey guy. Like, hockey's probably his number two sport. Mm-hmm. So he loves hockey. And he sent me that on Friday night. He said they got to bury him on Saturday.
Yep.
Like, they're a good team. If you let them kind of hang around a little bit, that game 5 is going to be tough. And certainly that's what happened. They gave them new life. And, you know, Owen Pitters said it, and he's right about this, on the first intermission interview.
Yep.
It's harder to close a team out when you're leading 2-1 rather than when you're kind of playing from behind because you're playing for your season. And I think Austin, on at least Saturday, they were playing for their season, obviously. And I think Pitters made a great point. It's hard when you're up 2-1 because you got to bring that same – you got to match that intensity that this team's coming with. And you blink, and they were down 2-0, and they finally started to get a couple past Boudicus. I'll tell you what, they got that thing 2-2 on Saturday. I thought they were going to win it.
Mm.
I really did. I thought they were going to get some puck luck. Like a little garbage goal up in front, a rebound, a tip puck in you know, out near the crease, and the exact opposite happened for Austin.
I know.
Man, that's a deflating that's a great series. Really is a great series, but just a deflating way to have your season come to a close.
And a couple of tough penalties there for the Wings too. I mean, you wanna go with the empty net to bring Braun out and go 6-on-5, and then Briggs Orr gets hit for, you know, a late penalty there with less than 2 minutes to go. That kind of takes some of that juice away. So, man, it's a tough way to end the season. And I'll say it, I said it twice before, and I'll say it again to wrap up the segment. Just goes to show you how difficult it is to hoist that Robertson Cup. But a job well done there for the Aberdeen Wings and a very successful season as they fall to the Bruins there 2-1. We'll come on back and take a look at some golf action from yesterday, high school boys tennis, softball, baseball, and the like. It's next on FSA. It's our daily sports talk show, Fox Sports Aberdeen, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Monday through Friday. Yeah, we don't take the off season. You know, I've been here for over a decade now, and I've been told that back once the quote unquote sports season ended, there was like the Sports Hub changed from a daily show to a once a week show. We're daily.
Yeah, we've been doing it daily the last couple of years here. So, I mean, whether it's golf or track and field, we're talking about it.
The only time in my time here that we didn't have a daily show was during COVID, I think. I think we might have gone to a weekly show. It's like 6 years ago, though.
Yeah, and what was going on during COVID? Not a lot.
Nothing. Underwater basket weaving. Yeah, not exactly... the greatest of spectator sports, for sure. Aberdeen Central Tennis, check it out on our website, hubcityradio.com. After day one of the ESD meet, the Golden Eagles are sitting in the number seven spot out of collectively nine teams. Huron and Pierre are tied for the number eight spot. So Central sitting in the number seven spot, and the Golden Eagles picking up a Flight 3 doubles victory with the team of Reeder and Grand Prix, and they will be in the winner's bracket today to battle a pair from Brandon Valley. So I want to wish those guys the very best of luck there at the ESD tennis meet there. That's down south in Yankton. High school golf from yesterday, very breezy day. Winds gusting as strong as 40 miles per hour. The Roncalli Cavaliers, they traveled east on Highway 12, and a little TCB for them, taking care of business as they went down the rest of the field, defeating Sisseton by 13 strokes. Groton, the host squad, they're in third, rounding out the top five, Madison and Redfield, Mackenzie Wegehop, and Claire Crawford tying for the medalist position, 13 over 85, good for first place. Kinsley Heath of Sisseton in third place, Ava Danielson of Roncalli in fourth place, Carly Johnson of Groton in fifth. And Olivia Braun was not out there to enjoy playing in the wind, but man alive, that's got to be pretty tough conditions to play in.
Yeah, and we talk a lot about Central Golf, and deservingly so for what they do, but this Roncalli golf team as well has been playing some elite-level golf. They were at the Lee Park invite last week, and they had 7 of 11 in the top 11. I mean, 7 golfers in the top 11. I've went through it here. They got 6 of the top 10 at 6 golfers in the top 10 as well. And Mackenzie Wegehop, you were talking like, hey, she had a chance to win this tournament at the end and just kind of didn't have a great finish, and Claire Crawford was able to get, you know, the tie there. Kinsley Heath has been really good for Sisseton as well. She finished runner-up there in Lee last week, and another top three finish for her. But this Roncalli golf squad, they're a little bit more deep than some of these other teams that they're facing off. You know, whether it's, you know, Sisseton, Groton, Milbank, like they just have multiple golfers that can go out there and score low.
No question about it. We talked about that with Dave Vilhauer here about a month or so ago, as he said, hey, this team is going to win a lot of events this year. Well, check plus. They've won a lot of events already to this point, and I'm going to go out on a limb here. I think they're going to win some more. Elsewhere on the local side of things, high school baseball, it would be the Warner Ipswich Northwestern Gators downing the Tigers of Groton 6-2 in baseball action. And the Redfield Muskrats, they get 6 innings of 7 strikeout ball from Grady Holscher. He picks up the win, also helping his own cause, going 1-for-3 at the dish with a couple of ribbies. The Muskrats were all over the Miller Outlaws 11-1. That'll put a smile on Tommy Gregg's face, huh?
Yeah, I think so, especially after a couple frustrating games there against SBW. To be able to kind of bounce back and have a big-time pitching outing from Holscher, you'll take it.
Softball, Clark Willow Lake gets past Redfield 3-1. Sioux Valley skunks Groton 10-0. And Castlewood gets a nice rebound after falling to Duel over the weekend 14-2 over Elkton Lake Benton. And the Colorado Avalanche, they take a commanding 3-1 advantage over the Wild last night 5-2.
Series is done. I think the Wild are done. Avalanche are just too good.
Book it. We're back at it tomorrow.